Welcome to The Crucible, where the Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy gives you a front row seat to conversations with specialists in the minerals and metals sector. SIAM has well over 100 years' experience in and commitment to protecting the professional standards of our industry. Join us now as we discuss the key issues and global initiatives to give you the relevant information needed to make informed decisions, to influence policy that directly affects our sector, and to help our industry grow in an uncertain future.
Welcome to The Crucible, the SAIMM's initiative that helps us connect. I'm Adele Kutsia and will be your host on this episode. Our topic for today is the influence the global industry standard of tailings management has had on South African tailings management and the SANS 10286. I would like to introduce you to our guest for today, Andrew Copeland. Andrew has had extensive exposure to the international mining industry and to the full chain of mining activities and project stages for over 35 years. Andrew is a technical specialist in the area of mineral residue management, including filtered, paste and thickened tailings, with a master's degree in mine backfill. He is engineer of record on a number of large tailings facilities in Southern Africa. He is currently the technical director at Knight Piesold. Andrew, welcome to The Crucible.
Hi Adele, thanks very much. It's good to be part of this Crucible episode with you.
Yeah, Andrew, reading your bio, I can see why this topic is so important to you. Can you tell us more about yourself?
Yeah, so my career started immediately out of university in the field of backfill. So I was looking at putting tailings underground to support the gold mines in particular. And I worked for the Chamber of Mines Research Organization back in those days. Very interesting time to get involved with putting tailings underground. It was to do with mine safety at that time, and there was lots of research. And so it introduced me to tailings, particularly cycloning of tailings and then putting that underground. But it still meant that there was a certain amount going onto surface. After that, I got involved with Anglo-American and got involved in the field of design and surveillance of tailings dams on surface. And so I got exposed to that type of work. Later, Anglo sort of split up and meant that a lot of their work didn't involve tailings anymore, but I was then involved with projects and overseeing the tailings risks within Anglo-American, and that meant that I reviewed projects and I reviewed the active tailings dams within the Anglo-American group, and that exposed me to multiple commodities, different types of tailings dams, and it was all over the world. So that was great exposure, and really I learned a lot in that time. I subsequently joined Knight Piesold in 2013 and have since been on the other side of the fence, so going from the client to the consultant. And now I have to put together teams that do the actual design work for tailings facilities, these tailings dams, and then took on the what's now termed the engineer of record role within the design consultant. And so it's been really good to have this understanding of both sides of what the client's needs are and what the design inputs are. So I hope that gives you the sort of background about myself. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. South Africa is really privileged to have you as a tailings expert playing such a big role in our tailings facilities and the management thereof. You played such an important role in the alignment of the SAINS 10286 with the global industry standard. Why is it so important to align the SANS 10286 with the GISTM?
Yeah, both of them came from a history of tailings dam failures. SANS itself was written in 1998 after the 1994 Merriespruit tailings dam failure. And the GISTM itself arose out of the failures in Brazil, particularly the Samarco and Brumadinho failures, where many lives were lost. And at both stages in the writing of those standards, the industry said we must do things better. So the SANS document is an extremely good document, but it's been now been surpassed by the GISTM, which has raised the bar even higher. And so the SANS document is to some extent outdated. And while it is a very good document, it does need to be updated. So we've been in that process of updating it to align with the GISTM and making sure that the industry itself picks up its standards and reduces its legacy in terms of the failures that were happening.
Who was part of the drafting process of the updated standard?
So it was a multi-party group that we got together. We realized that if we're going to update the standard, it must involve parties from not just the mining houses and the consultants, but also from those who are involved in operating tailings facilities. And then we got in academics from a couple of the universities. We brought in people from the Minerals Council, and there were also people related to the Institute of Civil Engineers and, in fact, from SAIMM itself. The only people that we couldn't get involved were people from the government, from the Department of Minerals and Energy, from Water and Sanitation, and from the Department of Environmental Affairs, which is unfortunate. But we did invite them, and they're still going to have the opportunity to be involved during public consultation.
Can you highlight the key changes to the current SANS 10286?
Yes, there have been a number of key changes that we're going to have to make to the SANS document. GISTM expanded its reach to not just the technical aspects around tailings dams, but also to include the affected communities and the environment, and to make sure that the human rights of those living in close proximity to existing tailings dams are taken into account, and in any new designs that they're certainly consulted and taken into account. There's going to be a lot more emphasis on governance, and we're seeing that in the structure that has to be set up, not just within the mine itself, where you need an accountable executive and a responsible tailings facility engineer, but you need other people appointed. You need an engineer of record appointed and his team. There needs to be an independent tailings review board appointed, and in many cases in Southern Africa, we have a tailings dam operator. And this means a lot more people with a lot more training and resources to carry out the work that's required. Another area which is a key change is that GISTM requires that mining houses disclose to the public status of their tailings facilities to make sure that they're not polluting and that their facilities are safe. So that requires careful consultation and thought as to what goes out to the public. The integrated knowledge base is another aspect. Historically, we've not been very good at keeping records. And now it's fundamental that we do keep those records, and that those records don't just sit with the consultant, but they sit with all parties. Everybody has access to them. And it's not just the technical documents, but also the environmental and permitting documents, the monitoring data, and closure plans. Another key change is that of consequence classification. So there were, in the previous SANS document, there was a requirement to have an environmental and a safety classification. But now it goes further than that and says you can't just have a zone of influence. You must actually do a dam breach assessment that outlines what the zone of inundation will be. So if there's going to be a credible failure and you analyze that, how much of the tailings will flow out? How quickly will it arrive at a certain point? What will be the depth of flow? What will be the velocity? And then what infrastructure, environmental aspects, and people will be affected. And it analyzes the potential loss of life. And arising out of that, you then have to look at what you need, what your design criteria are. So this relates to storm events and earthquake events. And those are particularly important when it comes to making sure that if you've got a very high consequence or an extreme consequence, you design accordingly as opposed to a low consequence. And so there's a range of design criteria according to that. The other thing that has changed significantly revolves around stability analyses. Historically, in the SANS document, there was no reference to a factor of safety. 2013, the Waste Management Act came along and included a factor of safety of 1.5, but didn't actually specify what that related to. So in the new SANS document, we want to bring in factors of safety that are aligned with the ICOLD documentation, that's the International Commission on Large Dams, and what they say in terms of factors of safety, where we look at drained conditions and undrained conditions and the factors of safety for both of those. So we put together a process flow sort of diagram as to how you follow that and try and meet those requirements and reduce risks. And last but not least, a key change in the SANS document revolves around risk management. And this comes straight out of the GISTM. It says you've got to do a failure modes and effects analysis to make sure that you're looking at what are the credible failure modes, and then what are you going to do about them? What critical controls do you need? What are the triggers that might lead to instability? And if you don't meet the requirements in terms of the factors of safety, what control measures are you going to put in place? And this was where what's called the ALARP principle, as low as reasonably possible. What can you do to mitigate those risks as low as reasonably possible and still satisfy the community and the environment around you? And last but not least, now you need to have emergency response plans. It's no longer just lip service to this. You must make sure that there are trials and drills and people know what to do in the case of an evacuation, and also that there must be a recovery plan to clean up if there's such an event. So these are significant changes that both SANS and the GISTM bring to improving the standards in our industry.
Thanks, Andrew. I must agree with that. These changes will come with plenty challenges in the mining industry. How will South African industry comply with these changes in the tough economic times we are facing?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, this does all cost money to bring things up to compliance. And in addition to that, many of our tailings dams are built using the upstream method. And the upstream method is considered to be the most risky method. And therefore, any remedial measures are likely to cost more than they might have done in the past. And in addition to that, any new facility that we build has to include a lining system, some form of barrier to protect the groundwater. The lining systems are very expensive and the drains that go with that are very expensive. So building tailings dams in this economic climate is not easy. And if we need to buttress them, it's also a significant cost. So the mining houses and the engineers have to work very closely to make sure that we're not taking excessive risks, but also that we are managing the risks in such a way that we are still keeping safe tailings dams. So that is a key challenge in this environment. In addition to that, if we do a consequence classification and it comes out and it requires you to look at large design storms, those storms will be larger than what our statutes require. Typically, our statutes want a 1 in 50 or a 1 in 100 year storm to be looked at. Now the GISTM is suggesting we need to be looking at 1 in 5,000 or 1 in 10,000 year storms and the same for the earthquakes. So these return periods mean that we may have to bolster our tailings dams in terms of freeboard and stability to account for these larger design criteria. So that may cost us more as well. And to make sure that we're managing our dams safely, we need to put in more monitoring equipment. And that too costs money. We need to protect that equipment. Ideally, we would like it to be real time, but that costs more money to automate these systems. And similarly, to put in more management and resources on our tailings facilities means more training, more people. They've got to do more studies. There's more geotechnical investigations to do. And all of this costs money. So there is a balance here somewhere. But at the same time, stability and safety has to be taken seriously and is still a top priority. And last but not least, the mining industry is not good at closing their tailings facilities, and closure takes money. To close our facilities, you need to work out what is going to be sustainable. You know, what will stop these sandy, silty tailings from eroding? How do you get grass to grow on them and to stop them becoming a nuisance in the environment? All of that will come at a significant cost. And so it's going to be one of those things that maybe we have to do things over a slightly longer period of time to balance the costs, but at the same time making sure that we understand the risks around that.
Thank you for that, Andrew. Definitely a concern for mining houses in this time. What is the timing on the approval process for the updated standard?
Yeah, so the draft, we started writing that in the beginning of 2021, shortly after the GISTM was released. And basically through to the end of, through to about March 2022, we had put the first draft together. And we gave that to SANS, to South African Bureau of Standards, to start checking the formatting and to start doing some technical editing. And we've been through a number of iterations with them. And yeah, it has stalled. We would like to think that we are near the end and that we're close to getting public consultation. But to commit to something at the moment is really difficult because of the difficulty in understanding the SANS process and their deadlines. Hopefully next year we will be able to roll that out. But I would suggest to the mining houses right now, don't wait for SANS to be published. Rather go ahead and implement things related to the GISTM. Commit to it. It is good for us in the long term.
Hmm. No, I will agree with that. If you comply with the GISTM, the updated SANS will not be a concern. What other advice would you give to mining houses in the Southern African region considering the updated standard?
Yeah, certainly. As I've said, I would say go ahead and adopt the GISTM in the interim and start moving towards that. Start doing, you know, the necessary investigations, start doing the necessary studies, and make sure you understand your risks. What is the condition of your dam? And if it's coming to the end of its life, start planning for new facilities. And if you do need to design a new facility, it may well take you 3 to 5 years to get that through the design stages and permitting. So plan ahead. At the same time, consider alternatives. There's new technology associated with things like dry stacking. So rather than wet disposal, which may be less safe, look at alternatives. And look at alternative mining methods and processing methods at the same time so that we don't just keep on producing huge volumes of tailings when maybe there are other ways of doing things.
Thank you very much, Andrew, for joining us on this podcast and your valuable guidance. It will go a far way. And joining us on The Crucible, we're looking forward to having you again here very, very soon. This is all the time we have for this episode, and we're looking forward to our next tailings episode. Thank you very much, and hope that you guys will join us again soon.
It's a pleasure, and thanks for inviting me.
Thank you for listening. Please note that the facts and opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not reflect the position of SAIIM or the corporate institution.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.